the word. It's another thing to practice it and apply it to our lives. It's not near as easy when we start applying. So that means we have to do something. It gets messy. It gets dirty. But the benefits are well worth it. They outweigh anything we're putting into it. So we started off by talking about ground zero. Where are we? We have to first identify where we're at before we can get moving anywhere. And then we moved into taking inventory the last couple of weeks. And taking inventory is, well, let's look at ourselves and see where we're at. Where do we want to go and how do we get there? What do we need to do in the process? What are the steps to take? Because if you remember, we're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and 2 right now. And Nehemiah is looking around at the walls of Jerusalem, and they're torn down. They're in rubble. The gates of the city have been burned down. So Jerusalem is defenseless, which is often how we spend our lives, with our walls broken down, with our doors burned, and we're defenseless. And we have no defenses against the enemy, so when he attacks us, we just lay there and take it. For God wants us to be defendable. He wants us to have our walls built up. So remember, we're renewing our minds to the mind of Christ so that we're strong, because the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. So that's our walls that we're building back around us, is the Word of God, the truth of His Word, rather than the lies that would come against us. And today we're going to look at proper performance. How do we begin acting out? How do we begin using the Word of God in our lives? How do we begin walking in those steps? And as we continue on in Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to look at some of the lessons that Nehemiah gave us, some of the examples that we can draw from what he did walking out the process. And if you remember last week, we ended up on verse 11 and 12, learn when to speak and when to be silent. Sometimes we need to speak a good word, or we need to speak up, but other times we need to just zip up and not say anything and take it to the Lord in prayer. So there is a time to speak, but there is a time to be silent and just wait it out and see what God will do with it. So you remember Nehemiah is heading into the city to begin looking at it, seeing what ruin is it in, what do we need to rebuild, how do we repair. But he hasn't told anyone what he's doing yet. He hasn't told anybody what God's put in his heart. He's just keeping it to himself right now. And I'm assuming they think he's just on a horseback riding journey. I don't know. But picking up in verse 13 through 16, by night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. If you remember, this is where the enemy would love to have us, broken down, in rubble, burned up, defenseless. This is where Satan loves to have. We might still get into heaven, but we're not going to do any work that glorifies God. We're not going to fulfill the destiny that God has called us to if we stay in this state. We're not going to help other people out. We're not going to win our friends and family to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're still going to get to heaven. But Satan wants us left here, so we're not fulfilling all that God has in store for us. So that's why we have to renew. We have to begin rebuilding. We have to get our walls and gates reestablished so that we can defend when the enemy comes to attack, so that we can live a God-honoring life, so that when our friends and family and neighbors look at us, they go, I want what they have. How do I get it? And then the door is opened to give the call of salvation or the opportunity to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. So this is why it's important. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. And often we run into these stumbling blocks, or we have in our mind how it's going to work and how it's going to be, and then we get to a point, we go, wait, This isn't working. I can't ride my horse anymore. This isn't working out. And so instead of figuring it out or finding a solution, often we just back off and go, well, I guess it wasn't God's will. And we stop. The devil loves to put blockades in front of us. He loves to put stumbling blocks ahead of us. He loves to put deterrents ahead of us. But we've got to be overcomers. Because greater is he who's in me than he who is in the world. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, the overcomer of all overcomers, lives in me. So we've got to learn to get through the hard times, get over the stumbling blocks, find a new route, find a new path, whatever it takes to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Otherwise, the devil just goes, stop, stop. He goes, oh, Arby's getting so easy. All I have to do is just drop a drip in the bucket, and he turns around. He quits. He gives up. But instead, we have to have a little bit of resilience and perseverance. We have to say, okay, I just found a way we can't do it. How else do we get it done? What else do I need to apply in my life? What else do I need to change in my life to get to where God is trying to get me to go? So Nehemiah here, he gets off his horse. Said, well, clearly I'm in the wrong vehicle. I'm going to get off my horse and walk. Verse 15, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. So one thing Nehemiah did, he established his course. How am I going to go about repairing the wall? How am I going to go about examining the wall? And if you look through there, he went to this gate and this well and this gate and this gate. He had a course established. What course do you have established? Do you have a course established? One thing I learned in Africa is that we in America, we think future, present, past. In Africa, they think present, past, and if they have time left over, they think about their future. When you're establishing a course of where you're going, you're looking at your future. Where am I going? But in Africa, they're just looking at, am I going to eat today? Is there going to be food for today? They can't see past the present most of the time because they don't know when their next meal is going to come. So for them to even think about the future is really difficult because they think about their present and then they start thinking about their past of what they've done and how they got to where they are today rather than looking at their future where they want to go. So the thinking is completely different than here in America. But we need to set our course, which our course leads us into our future. So we have to start thinking about our future. Where do I want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Where do I want my children to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? I had a great awakening one day when Ridge turned 9 years old. I'm kind of mathematical, and it was a pretty difficult math problem, but I said, wow, 9 times 2 is 18. 18 is adulthood and goneness. My son is halfway out of my house. What am I doing to sow into his life? What am I doing to prepare him for his future? What course am I setting him on? And I had to take a serious look at my priorities, at where I was spending my time and money and energy, and is it aligning my son to set onto his course for his future? Is it to give him the best foot forward that he can have in Jesus Christ? So when we start looking at our future, we start setting our course according to what we want to end at. Not because of the bumps we might have along the way, not because of something that might change along the way and not look as if we wanted it to. But what's my end goal? What's my end result? And what am I willing to do to get there? We have to set our course. Verses 17 and 18. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. We have to have the proper timing. When do we release that word? When do we begin doing what God's called us to do? When is that time? We get to know that by being in relationship with Christ, by having a daily time with Him, daily experience in His Word, in prayer, in fasting, which if you remember, today's the last day of fasting. That's exciting. No one else is excited? A couple of you are. We can eat liver tomorrow. It's wonderful. But actually, I'm going to fast that all year long. Really am. So sometimes our timing isn't God's timing. Sometimes God's plan isn't our plan. We have to apply our faith and our trust in Him to say, "God, it looks grim and it doesn't look right to me, but I'm yours. I'm yours. What do you want to do with me? I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm going to keep going on the course." So Nehemiah begins to reveal the plan to everyone else that's going to help him build. And then verse 19. "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you are doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?'" So don't give in to criticism. Don't give in to the critics. There's always going to be someone that opposes you and your thinking and your ideas. But know that you know what God has called you to do, and then go forth and do it. Go forth and do what they've asked you to do. My friends used to tell me, "You're not going to quit drinking. You can't give that up. It's part of who you are. It's just who you are." That's not true. Is it? No. There were people that said, "You can't be a pastor." But I am. There were people that told Kathleen and I, "You're getting married too young. You'll never make it." But here we are, almost 18 years later, here we are. But you've got to know your course. You've got to be in God's timing. You can't give in to the critics. You can't give in to the naysayers. Say, "God has called me to do this." Nehemiah had a big project ahead of him because he couldn't call in the D8 cats to level the ground. He couldn't call in the cement trucks to mix the mud. He couldn't call in the backhoes and dump trucks to load the rock. It was all physical manual labor, which I got to do a lot of when we were in Africa. They have guys with hammers smashing gravel for you to mix into your concrete. They have guys walking a mile to the river to bring the sand for the concrete. Other guys walking a mile to the river to bring back a bucket of water for the concrete. Other guys hauling in 5 miles of the cement mix from the cement plant so we could build the concrete. And you throw it all in a pile and you mix it all by hand with a shovel. You don't call in the cement drum because there aren't any. So to get 4 yards of concrete here is pretty easy. You call up Clearwater Concrete and say, "Hey, can I have 4 yards of concrete?" In our spiritual life, if we'll use God's plan, we can just call up the concrete truck. Say, "Hey, I need 4 yards of concrete." But sometimes God says, "No, I don't want you to go through it that way. I want you to walk through the process of building it by hand, shovelful after shovelful. I want you to work the process. I want you to learn and grow and develop through the process. Because you get really strong really quick mixing concrete by hand. I don't know how many yards we mixed while I was there, but I was hurting. I was out of shape. It was really hot. It was like 75 degrees. It was hot. It was winter time, so they were all in coats and stocking hats and gloves. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt and wishing I could take something off. But sometimes the easy route isn't what God gives us. Sometimes he says, no, not today, Arby. I want you to work through the process. When my wife and I moved down here from cul-de-sac, at that time we had a trailer house. It was a 14 by 70. And we were moving it up here, and we'd been wanting to do some remodels to the house. It still had old aluminum windows, so they sweat real bad in the winter and create moisture. And we wanted to replace those, and the carpet was old. We wanted to replace that. And looking at our budget going, we can't afford to replace that. So anyway, the moving company, as they're moving our house up here, they drive it into the ditch. And the house, I'm driving behind it, following as a flagger, and you see the house go, I'm like, oh, that wasn't good. And the middle of the roof's like this now, and I'm like, oh, this is ugly. Not good. And at first, I wasn't real happy about it. And of course, we called the insurance company, and which at that time, I think it was $50 to pay for the moving insurance. And we're like, boy, we don't know if we have that much to spend. But we went ahead, we got the money, we paid for it. Thank God we paid for it. Because otherwise, the little accident wouldn't have been covered. So the insurance company paid us enough money, and with me doing the labor, not hiring a contractor to do it, we were able to remodel all the sheetrock inside. We were able to repair the roof that had been damaged in the wreck. We were able to replace all the windows in the house. We were able to put new carpet everywhere we wanted carpet in the house, which in the beginning looked like a wreck. But in the end was God saying, I'm giving you what you want on somebody else's bill. So we didn't pay anything for the remodel. We had to put some time and labor into it. We had to live with our in-laws for a few months, which was probably my wife's favorite time of our marriage. She's laughing hysterically back there. Which was a stressful time in our marriage. We spent about half the time with her parents and half the time with my parents. And it was quite stressful. But that's part of the process of growing and developing us. Sometimes part of the process of renewal is a little yucky. It's a little sticky. It's a little scary at times. But we've got to go through the process to get renewal, to get restoration. In verse 20, finishing up chapter 2, I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim to historic right to it. So place your trust in God, and he will see you through. No matter what the course looks like, no matter what you thought it was going to be ready for change on the course. Trust in God no matter what. It looks ugly, God. There's sheetrock falling down everywhere around me, God. But I believe that you're going to see me through. Even though I can't see light at the end of the tunnel today, God, you're going to see me through. Even though I can't see how it's all going to come together, God, you're going to see me through. You're going to restore me. You're going to repair me. As we're rebuilding in our lives, God gives us all kinds of tools. How many of you have one of these? This is just a dumb little piece of paper, right? Wrong. This is loaded with tools. How many of us take time to use these tools? God places tools in our lives every day that we don't take advantage of. Let's look in the toolbox. Tool number one, a handy-dandy Life Center pen. This is a very applicable tool. We can write stuff down. Sometimes we look at this and take it for granted in our life today. We have an offering envelope, another handy-dandy little tool. Gives us an opportunity to be obedient to God and giving into His kingdom, as He asks of us to do. Come as you are, an invite card. You can take this home and say, hey, would you like to come to church with us? Here's our service times. Stick it on your refrigerator. Stick it on the dash of your truck or car. A great little invite card. Simple to use tool. It has all the information you need. You don't even have to make stuff up. Our Bible reading plan. Powerful tool. I don't know where to get started reading the Bible. Let's go here. January 2018. 21st, Proverbs 21. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. If you only read one book, read Proverbs. It'll teach you how to live a godly life. It'll give you great wisdom and insight in how to govern your finances, your family, your spiritual life, your children, your husband and wife relationship. Handy tool. Where to get started? It's right here. We'll help you. But do we use it? A flyer from the Hope Pregnancy Center. Another handy tool. Where do women go when they need help with unexpected pregnancies? The church calendar. I don't know what we're doing. Well, we can at least give you a 30-day update. You can get involved in services. You can get involved in ministries. Get involved in the kingdom of God. It's another tool. Do we use it? I know sometimes we look at it and take it for granted, but we shouldn't, because it's all there to be a tool to be used in our lives to help us in one way or another. Maybe not all of it, but a piece of it. Maybe you just need another pen in your vehicle because you only have 13 currently. I've been in some of your cars. Get connected. We love to be in connection and relationship with you at the Life Center. But if we don't have your information, we can't connect with you. Today I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. What a powerful tool. Now, some people might say, well, it's just paper. But if you've come to knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to know about it so we can help answer any questions you may have, so we can get you into the right classes and training that you might need to grow and develop, to renew your mind, to build your walls back, to build your doors back. This is just a tool. It's not necessary, but it's applicable. It's a tool to be used in our lives that we can use if we'll take opportunity. I have some other tools. Do you want to see them? It's a Christmas tree. No peeking. I have tools. But how am I using my tools? Usually I grab my hammer, and then I find a screw and start driving it. Don't you guys do that? Why not? Because these tools don't go together. I can drive a lot of screws with a hammer and get nowhere. But broken screw after broken screw. But if I get the right tool to go with my right screw, I can put a lot of these in a day. Sometimes God allows me to use one of these with my screw. Sometimes He makes me use one of these with my screw. Not right, not wrong. Just some days He requires different things of me. Sometimes He says, Arby, I want you to be on the fast track. Sometimes He says, Arby, I want you to learn slow, patient, faithfulness, trust. Sometimes I want to warp speed you and just give you a whole new anointing. God has us at different stages of rebuilding and renewal in our lives. But unless we have the proper tool, with the proper tool, I can drive a lot of nails in a day with a hammer. Oops, that's a screw again. But I can drive a lot more nails with an air gun. But if I don't have the right tool in my hand, applied to the right tool in my other hand, I can't build. I can't get done what God's asked me to do. Sometimes it's a really little adjustment. It goes from a screw to a nail. They look about the same, don't they? From there, you can't even tell the difference. Sometimes we're a really minor adjustment away from doing what God has asked us to do. And in our mind, it's just blowing up. It's like, oh God, it's never going to work. And He says, just grab a nail. All you need is a nail. Or put your hammer away and get your screw gun out. But in our mind, it's catastrophic. And it's like, it's never going to happen. And sometimes we actually just show up to the wrong building site. And we're way off course. And we say, God, I repent. I'm way out of line. I'm way out of your word. I'm way out of what you've called me to do and be. And we have to completely repent and completely change course in our lives. But most of the time, we're just a nail or a screw away from being where God wants us to be. And it's a minor adjustment. We might need a 10-penny nail or a 20-penny nail. It's a minor adjustment. But Satan would have us believe that we're a long ways off, that we're completely out of the game, and there's no hope for us. Thank God He gives us speed squares. Right? This is a measuring tool in construction. It keeps you accurate. This is a measuring tool in life. This keeps us accurate. If we apply it correctly, if it goes on there square, then when I cut this line, it's square. And when it fits together, it goes on square. If we apply the Word of God to our lives, it trues us up. Not to what I think is okay, but to what He says is okay. It puts me back on course. So next week we're going to look at the people we build around us, the teams we bring around us to help us rebuild. Who do you have in your life that's helping you stay on track? That's keeping you on the level? Some of us are like over here going, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just a bubble off. God wants us on the level. Or plumb. However you want to be. Plumb and level is best in building. We want our lives plumb in direct line with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. We want to be level, meaning that we're exposed and vulnerable. Saying, here I am, God. Show me the error of my way. Help correct my thinking. Help me get back to where you would have me to be. So next week, we're going to look at those teams, those people that we put around us and helping us rebuild, helping us with our renewal, because we can't do it alone. A man who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. That tells me I need some friends around me. I need some confidences, some counselors around me to help guide me straight and true to get to where God's calling me to go. So as we continue renewing our minds to the mind of Christ, our lives to the pattern of Christ, our lives to the truth of God's Word, daily grow, daily develop. It should be a daily process that we're engaging with the Word, a daily process that we're engaging with the Lord in a communication relationship of I'm talking to you and I'm sitting and listening for you to talk to me. It's piece by piece, day by day, that we learn and grow and develop. But we have to apply ourselves. Just like I can have a whole stack of lumber in my driveway, but if I never grab a stick and start cutting and pounding, I'm never going to get anything built. I can have all the tools and resources around me, but if I never begin applying them, I'll never get anything done for the kingdom of God. So get your nail bags on. Go to work this week. Look and say, God, where am I at? God, where do you want me to be? And God, what does the process look like for me to get there? And then next week, we're going to look at, God, who do I gather around me to help me get there? So renew, renew, renew. That's your homework this week. Continue renewing. I'm going to invite Wayne to come.
Sorry. I love your analogies, and they're very insightful, engaging,